Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
I want to welcome you today and invite you to take your Bibles and turn to James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 4. I need to warn you, though, James has mentioned it a couple of times, but for the next 12 verses, he's really going to bear down on the subject of the tongue. Follow along as I read in James chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. I want to begin today's lesson sharing a quote from Pastor Robert Jeffress. He wrote, "Controlling our speech is not optional. It's essential. It is evidence of whether we're really saved." Remember, that's the theme of the book of James. If you have genuine faith, there's going to be genuine fruit in your life. And part of that fruit is the ability to control your speech. I've divided our lesson today into three main points. The first one is found in verse number 1, and the subject is this: be careful if you are a teacher. Be careful if you are a teacher. James begins this chapter saying, "My brethren, be not many masters." The word masters means teacher. My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Whenever we see the word we notice that James is including himself in the admonition. There are several things, then, that we need to be careful about if you are a teacher, especially of the Word of God. The first thing I would say is that we need to beware of our motivation. Beware of your motivation if you are a teacher. Back in the book of Matthew, in chapter number 23, the Lord Jesus Christ was dealing with those religious teachers of his day who had the wrong motivation, and we can learn a great deal from it. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, I want to begin reading at verse number 5. "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the border of their garments." Now, a phylactery was a small box that was attached to like a leather belt. A Jewish man, during times of prayer, he would take that phylactery and he would wrap it around his head, and within that little box would be a papyrus of the Old Testament scripture. Not only would he wrap it around his head and have the box in the front above the eyes, but he would take a second one and he would wrap it above his elbow on his left arm, where it would be closest to his heart. I don't believe that Jesus is condemning that, because the Old Testament talks about the importance of scripture and so forth. But the problem is, these religious leaders in Jesus' day, they would enlarge these things, and he talked about in verse number 5, enlarging the borders of their garments to draw attention to themselves. Because that's what Jesus said in verse 5, to be seen of men. And that's what the problem was. Their motivation to be religious teachers was to draw attention to themselves. In verse number 6, "and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi," which literally means great teacher, great teacher. But Jesus said in verse number 8, "but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master," or your teacher, "even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth. Now, the term father was a term of honor. He says, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Verse 10, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Verse number 11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your, and here's the key word, servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So we consider what James is talking about, that there not be many teachers. We need to be sure that if God has called us to teach the Word of God to others, that we must beware of our motivation. Our motivation isn't to exalt ourselves, it's to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to exalt His Word, to be a servant to others. And this servanthood extends to whatever ministry you are involved in as a Christian. Well, you may be working with young people. You may be working with children. You may be cleaning the bathrooms. You may be pulling weeds. It does not matter. Our motivation is to be a servant, to do whatever it is the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to do to further His kingdom. So be careful if you're a teacher. Beware of your motivation. Then secondly, remember the importance of the words that we speak. If you're in Matthew, just turn back to chapter number 12. And I want to look at verses 34 through 37. The Bible says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. See, here's the key to having bad language and saying bad words and teaching false doctrine. It's not simply a tongue problem, it's a heart problem. That's the root of the problem. That's what Jesus is talking about. He goes on here in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. He's just bringing forth that which is already in his heart. Verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. When the judgment day comes for those who are lost, all God will have to do is play back all the things that men have said, and they will condemn themselves by their own speech. Oh, what a terrible day that will be. My friend, I trust and I hope that you pay close attention to God's invitation of salvation, because the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to take that penalty for us and to wash our sins away with His blood. But for those who think they're going to get to heaven by works, it is those very works that will condemn you to a devil's hell. Be careful if you're a teacher, James says. Beware of your motivation. Remember the importance of words. The third thing I would say is we are responsible to speak the truth. If we're going to teach others, especially when it comes to God's Word, we are responsible to speak the truth of God's Word. Pastor Jeffers put it this way, it's foolish to think you can speak on God's behalf and not place yourself under His judgment. And then fourthly, we are responsible to live what we teach. We're responsible to live what we teach. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 2, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, ye shall be measured to you again. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 2. He wrote, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. My friend, God holds teachers to a stricter judgment. James is saying in verse 1, "My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Why? Because we've been given the opportunity to teach the truth, and we're responsible that we do teach that truth and that we live what we teach. We are subject to that stricter judgment. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 19, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." If you are a teacher and you have the opportunity to teach a Sunday school class or teach children, perhaps your own children in your own home, we need to know the Word of God and understand our responsibility to teach it truthfully and accurately, because God holds us to a stricter judgment because we're representing Him. We're teaching His Word. There's also a temptation to water down God's Word. Oh, we have to be so careful that we don't water down God's Word, that we don't allow the fear of men to influence the teaching of God's Word. That's one of the things that I like about going through the books of the Bible. When you go verse by verse through a book of the Bible, it allows God, it allows the Bible to dictate the subject matter in which we learn and in which we're able to teach. For example, this lesson is dealing with the tongue, and yet this is an important subject that James is dealing with, and God wants us to deal with it in our own lives. So in verse number 1 of James chapter 3, be careful if you are a teacher. And then secondly, in verse number 2 of James chapter 3, every Christian, not just teachers, every Christian is responsible to control the tongue. Let's read verse number 2 again. "For in many things we," there's that word "we" again, James is including himself, "for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect or a mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Imagine that. James is teaching that if we can learn to control our tongue, we can control our whole body. And the key to controlling the tongue is to have a heart that's right with God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 39, verse 1, the psalmist wrote, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." To bridle our mouths. In Psalm 141, verse 3, the psalmist said, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." So we need to bridle our mouth. We need to allow the Lord to be the door to our lips. And then if you remember earlier in James chapter number 1 and verse 26, James had written, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." So we have this tremendous responsibility about the words we allow to come from our lips. Now here's the thing. We are all prone to make mistakes. We're prone to sin because we're sinners, and we're prone to fail. And James understood that. That's why he said, "For in many things we offend all," but we're still responsible. We're still responsible for those things. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, Paul wrote, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Listen, God is preparing us to live for Him, to be teachers for Him, to be witnesses for Him. He's brought these pastors and teachers and evangelists into our local assemblies to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, Paul writes, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. We all, as Christian, should be involved in some sort of ministry. And he goes on, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. My friend, if you are a believer, that day is coming. We may be in heaven before it's fulfilled, but that day is coming, and every day of our life here in this world, in the ministry that God has given us, we should be growing more and more to be like Jesus Christ. Paul goes on and writes that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But here's the key, but speaking the truth in love. The words that we say, they're important. Speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Yes, we are prone to make mistakes, we're prone to sin, we're prone to fail. But if we'll get our hearts right and keep our hearts right with God, he wants to take the words that we speak to speak the truth in love. This is what people see. This is what people hear. And it should be different what comes out of a Christian's mouth. Secondly, our words demonstrate the depth of our Christian maturity. Our words demonstrate the depth of our Christian maturity. That's what James is talking about. If any man offend not in word, he writes, the same is a perfect man. That doesn't mean sinless perfection. The word there means to be a mature man and able also to bridle the whole body. So when we are saying the things that God wants us to say that's pleasing in his sight, that's a good sign that our life is headed in the right direction. Now, earlier in James chapter 1, verse 19, James had already written, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. A lot of times our problem is, I'll be honest with you, we talk too much. Some people just talk too much. There are times that we need to metaphorically bite our lips. We need to be silent. Oh, it's so easy. Been there, done that. Talking to myself here. But things will happen. Boy, we just have to get our word in when the best thing that we could do would be slow to speak, not to say anything at all. The old preacher used to say, God gave us two ears so that we could hear twice of what we say. There's something to that. We need to listen more and speak less. Just as our words demonstrate the depth of our Christian maturity, our works reveal the reality of our faith. This is what people hear. This is what people see when they see us. And so what we say and how we live lets the lost world know, Jesus has changed my life. Well, we've looked at verse 1, be careful if you're a teacher. We've looked at some admonition there. Verse number 2, we recognize that this is applicable to all Christians. Every Christian is responsible to control his tongue. Now in verses 3 and 4, James is giving us two examples of how the power of the tongue is used to direct our lives. The power of the tongue to direct our lives. Now the first example is that of a horse in verse number 3. Let me read that verse here in James chapter 3, verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Now, the purpose of this bit in the horse's mouth is for the horse to obey the rider, not the other way around. Now, the psalmist said this in Psalm 32, verse number 8 through 11, he said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Then he says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You see, when God has our heart, He has our mouth, and He has our body. Just as that bit controls that horse, if God controls your heart, He controls your life. And that's what James is teaching us. We need to be sure that God has our heart, and then our mouths and our lives will be headed in the right direction. Now, a horse is big in comparison to the bit. I read that a horse can weigh up to 9 to 1,200 pounds. That's what the psalmist was talking about. If you don't control that horse can hurt you. That horse can kill you. But when you have a bit and you're able to control that horse can become very productive and very, very helpful. So the first example that James gives us is the example of a horse. Now the second example he gives us is found in verse number 4, and that's of a ship. Let's read verse number 4 of James chapter 3. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. The word helm there refers to the rudder, whithersoever the governor listeth. So not only are ships large, but they also combat the wind and the waves, and yet because there's a rudder that's controlled by the captain, he can direct that ship whatever direction he wants it to go. They're controlled by a very small rudder. Though small, the tongue is powerful for its size. Think about that. Though small, the tongue is powerful for its size. Let's look into the book of wisdom for just a moment. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, the Bible says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. And then he said in Proverbs 12, verse 22, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Oh, I like Proverbs 15, 1. I need to practice it more. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And then there's Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What he's saying is those who use the tongue for death, that love that, that's the kind of fruit they're going to get. But those that use the tongue for life, and they love that, that's the kind of fruit they're going to receive. My friend, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but the tongue that we all have is much like an atom bomb. We have to be careful with the words that we use because we can cause great destruction, or we can use our lips for great benefit. A rudder not controlled properly can result in destruction. I think of a couple of examples. I think of the ship, the Bismarck, during World War II. That during a battle, its rudder was rendered inoperative, and that big German battleship was stuck in going around in a big circle. It couldn't flee the battle, and it ultimately was sunk to the bottom of the ocean. I think of the Titanic. Had the rudder been turned just a few degrees, it might have missed that iceberg. A rudder not controlled properly can result in destruction. It has been estimated that the average person speaks about 30,000 words every day that are used for gossiping, belittling, cursing, bragging, manipulating, false teaching, exaggerating, complaining, flattering, and lying, and God records it all. One writer wrote, and the author's unknown, but I want to close with this, and this is what he wrote. A careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate instill. A brutal word may smite and kill. A gracious word may smooth the way. A joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress. And finally, a loving word may heal and bless. My friend, let's surrender our hearts to God that He may fill our lips and bridle our words. May God bless you.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.